everyone, Julie here. I am just going to give you an auditory overview of our fourth class so that you can take this on a walk and listen and learn auditorily if you prefer. So just really quickly, what we did on our fourth class is our topic for designing and delivering inclusive virtual professional development was about delivering professional development like a boss, so week four. And how we started it is what we did is a self-portrait. So we had everybody draw their own self-portrait. And instead of putting your regular eyeballs and all that kind of thing, instead we put what is in my head, what I like to look at, what I like to smell, what I like to taste, what I have to offer, what is in my heart, what I can't stomach, and why this class is on my journey in the feet area. So you'll have to look at the visual to get a real sense of it, but essentially people created their own self-portraits and used those sentence starters. We talked a little bit about something that you might not know about me and Christy, and Christy's was about struggling with spelling, and her undergraduate advisor said she wasn't graduate material. For me, I shared my school report card information, and my school report card said things like, Julie rarely sits still, and Julie has skipped math 7 times this quarter. The reason we shared a little more about ourselves is for one, just to get a chuckle, but for two, to really think about how people see us and how we see ourselves. And later in the class, we're gonna be talking about restoring our participants and really seeing them in a new way. As usual, we talked about our approach and we really want it to be interactive. We want to share many practical tips. We wanted to create a space where people can learn together and to be safe and respectful. So again, this is week four, delivering PD like a boss. And that was our opening. Our outcomes for today. We talked about redesigning virtual sessions using multiple access points, learning to apply highly effective co-teaching practices. The third one was limiting and repairing microaggressions. The fourth one is learning how to handle difficult situations in supportive ways. And the last one is the tricks of the trade. So the next thing that we did is we had everybody come together and share their learning from the Padlet. So if you haven't checked out the Padlet, I'm gonna highly recommend that you do. It's a place where we're keeping all of our technology tips and tricks. And what we had people do is join a small group and they shared one thing from their self-portrait. And then they talked about the technology they explored. And so that was a small group discussion. And then we jumped right in about redesigning content and access points. And how we did it is we had people answer this question. What is something that you used to do during professional development that you're really struggling to do virtually? And someone came up with this idea. I used to walk around and chat with people to get a sense of individual states. I haven't adjusted to not being able to make good eye contact and really connect. So what we did is we took that response. There were many, many more, but we took that response and we taught folks a 5-minute problem solving experience. So the problem that people discussed is not being able to get a sense with good eye contact and really good connection. And this is what the 5-minute experience is. For 1 minute, we have people describe their challenge. For 1 minute, we had people write a mutually agreed upon question. For 2 minutes, we had people brainstorm silently ideas or solutions to that problem. And then we had people select a first step and celebrate by giving a high five or dancing or celebrating in some way. So how it worked is we took the problem of not being able to really connect with people. And then again, they described it for a minute and then they created a mutually agreed upon question. So what we want you to understand here is when you write your mutually agreed upon question, you write it in the form of a solvable question. So it would be something like, in what ways might we, or how could we, or how could I? So they rewrote the question and then they brainstormed responses. And all of those answers or responses are going to be available for you on your dashboard. So you can take a look at that. And then we had people celebrate and select a first step in terms of how they want to handle that problem. So you can see the 5-minute problem solving experience takes any challenge that you have and turns it into a doable, solvable form. The next thing that we talked about was co-teaching practices, and we don't have to be together to co-teach. And what Christy and I did was we kind of illustrated the ways that we've been co-teaching this course. So I think you've heard us say before that we think you should always have a co-teacher, especially when doing things virtually. And we talked about one teaching and one making something visual. We wanted you to know that one of us called through the questions, one of us writes the emails and communicates with you, one of us created the dashboard, one designs the PowerPoint, and then we support one another. Then we asked the group to share what else have you noticed that we've done. And that was kind of fascinating because in the chat, many people had many different things they had noticed. One of them that stuck out to me was they said having two co-teachers really makes it more conversational. So when you have a co-teacher, you're not just speaking into the void. You're talking to someone who's responding. And I think that's a lot easier to listen to. Next, we looked at 20 ideas for one teach, one make multisensory, which is another co-teaching strategy or structure that we wanted you to know about. And I'll give an example. So if someone conducts a mini lecture, someone else holds up props and objects to make key concepts memorable. Or when someone conducts a little mini lecture, someone demonstrates how to take notes on the interactive board, right? So those are ideas. The next piece we talked about was limiting and repairing microaggressions. And we didn't get too deep into this, but we explained a couple things, starting with what is a microaggression? And Christy shared this. She said the everyday subtle, intentional and often unintentional interactions or behaviors that communicates some sort of bias towards historically marginalized groups. And they explained the difference between microaggressions is that overt discrimination or macroaggressions is that people who commit microaggressions might not even be aware of them. And we gave a source called microaggressions are a big deal, how to talk them out and when to walk away. Christy used the example white to talk about words that have white in it, white space, white list, white board, et cetera. A white blank, while not a racial slur, is a default to the white dominant culture. And she talked about whitelist, for example. So people say, oh, your email's not whitelisted, and it means it's not allowable or good, compared to blacklisted, meaning not allowable and not good. Almost always the dichotomy between white and black is set up in a juxtaposition of good and bad. And so even just using a concept that seems as sort of, that seems as simple as whiteboard and blackboard, I want you to just take a minute and think, what's the difference between a whiteboard and a blackboard? What comes to mind when you think of those two things? And why is color even necessary in that description? Because essentially, it's maybe a dry erase board or it's a creative space, right? What's it for? And why is color the most important thing? So we talked about that for a while. Then we moved into handling difficult situations in supportive ways, moving from microaggressions. And I really liked when Christy explained this, so I'm gonna try to do my best. She talked about when a microaggression occurs, we have to repair it and to watch out carefully for defensiveness and keep the person centered and the problem. So what you don't want to do is say, you know, whiteboard, that's not it. That's just a color. I'm just explaining, right? And instead you need to apologize and validate feelings and take corrective action by saying, that was really helpful. Thank you so much. And here's how I'm in the future. I'm going to call it this. And I've changed my slide. Let me show you, you know? So that was just kind of, we've got to think about how to respond to microaggressions. Then we talked about flipping your thinking about learners. We talked about the fact that there are problematic people in our professional development often, and we have to restory those humans. They might be too talkative, too opinionated. They might be late. They might be distracted. They might be too time consuming. And what I'm going to ask you to do is restory those humans by using a lead to gold approach, meaning if we see our learners as demanding, then we're going to respond in one way. But if we just see them as assertive or seeking information, it becomes a different thing. So we want you to think about your learners in a new way, and we've provided some supports in the turning lead to gold piece. The last thing we did is we shared three tricks of the trade. And the three tricks of the trade that we shared are, so after everything we've shared so far, we wanted to do three more. And the first was prioritize what should be live, what should happen in between, or even offline. So Christy and I were really careful to give a lot of resources and decided which things we thought needed to happen face-to-face and which things could happen offline or before or after. If you look at the dashboard, you can see the results of those decisions. The second one comes from many of us who are leading professional development virtually feel like, oh, I'm not tech savvy enough. I'm not going to know how to do something. And instead, we ask you to reframe that for yourself. And so what we want you to do is think about what you bring to the learning and then always leverage the collective. So if you don't know how to do something, you can always say to people in the chat, you know, something like, drop that link in the chat and we, so people can learn about what we're talking about. So just know that you're a part of a collective and that technology is always changing and you can only be as up to date as you are, right? And then the last one is always over deliver. So whatever professional development situation you're in, make sure to always give more than they anticipated. So in an effort to over deliver, Christy and I put together 100 more strategies for those who want to go further. So we talked, so you'll be able to download, it's called 100 tips for teaching anything virtually pre-K through PhD. Then we had our closing, which was a, let me just try to remember here. What was our closing? Oh, we ended with a manifesto. And we've been working with teachers a lot to make their own manifestos. And you might make one too. This is what the manifesto is that we read. I want you to know that when you enter this space, you are loved. Here we will treat each other with love and respect. Every single person in here is whole and not broken. We are here together to help each other shine. We will not do things perfectly, and that is perfect because imperfection allows us to learn. I will show up for you each day. We will show up for one another. We will be courageous together. We will be joyful together. We will have many feelings in here together, and we will learn how to feel them and support one another. No matter what, you belong here every day and in every way. So we think the manifestos that educators are coming up with are just beautiful and a really, really good idea to set the stage, set the tone, or to use as a closing. Especially if you're together for multiple times. And then we ended in a word by having people share their word that came to mind as part of our ritual. And very lastly, we just shared with people if you wanted more. So let's say you've been to all four of these sessions and you've listened to the audios and you've loved it. We just wanted to let you know that we can also custom design supports for you. So if you run or oversee a school system or a larger group of people that do professional development, we can help you and create something like this just for you. We are answering the question, can I share this with so-and-so? So we've gotten a lot of questions. Can I share this? Can I share this? Can I share this? Here's how we want you to think about it. You can definitely share a couple pieces from our course with others. You can share little videos. You can share a couple pieces here and there. If it gets beyond, you know, two or three pieces that you're sharing, we just want you to think about fair use and the fact that it's intellectual property. And you, what we might want to do at some point, if you want to share like the whole thing with someone, is instead make sure that they purchase their own copy. And so we're going to, we have a way for people to do that. So if you're wondering about what to share, you can email Christy at christypf.com and she will be able to respond to that. And then thirdly, we let people know that we're going to keep the Padlet going so you can keep adding to it as you go. And we also wanted you to know that we have new things being offered all the time. Okay. Well, we just want to thank you for joining us for PD, for PD providers. This was so much fun. And reach out to us if you need anything in the future. Thank you.